Good morning, everyone. This morning we're in Psalm 39. I think it's going to be an interesting discussion. I had to muse myself over this passage quite a bit to try to understand it. There are times in life where I think we can relate to David, who sounds a lot like his son Solomon in this psalm. And in fact, the title given for the psalm is The Vanity of Life. And I think there are times in life where, in our humanness, we just evaluate or are thinking over life and we're like, what's the point of this? What's the purpose? And we may get caught up in thoughts of vanity. I also, interpreting this psalm, there was some hope for the afterlife. David had an understanding of both the positive and negative sides of Sheol, a place of the dead in the next life. But I don't think it was as strong as the promises that the church has today. And where like the Apostle Paul said, it'd be better that I'd be away with from the body and be home with the Lord. There's such great encouragement. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Think of all the verses in the Bible regarding eternal life, and those who live and believe in me will never die, in a sense, because even though we might die physically in this earth, we're going to be ushered into the Lord's presence. And I do believe it's better and grander in the new covenant, under the church, the promises that we have for eternity, which I think can help us in assessing the vanity of life. But in this moment, David is really struggling with the purpose and vanity of life. And a passage I want to take you to, his son Solomon, later in life, he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. And what's better, or what I like more about Ecclesiastes, the whole book, versus, say, just this Psalm 39, is we get to a better conclusion because Solomon takes, 12 chapters to evaluate the vanity of life. And then in the end, he kind of comes up with what he thinks we're here for. Whereas in this Psalm of, I don't know, I think 13 verses, David doesn't ponder it as long as Solomon did in 13 verses, and doesn't necessarily end as strong as Solomon did. I want to take you for a moment to Ecclesiastes, and it says here at the beginning, "The words of the preacher, the son of David," this is Solomon, king in Jerusalem. "Vanity of vanities," says the preacher, "vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What advantage does man have in all his work which he does under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. Also, the sun rises and the sun sets, and hastening to its place, it rises there again, blowing towards the south." Anyways, he goes over the vanity of life, but this doesn't really do it justice. But at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, you have to really read it and take it in, and we will in this Bible reading plan. But you'll see all the struggling and thinking and pondering that Solomon does. And then here's how he ends. I'll pick it up in verse 9 of chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes. "And Solomon was considered one of the wisest men to ever live, despite the mistakes he made, especially with women. But in addition to being wise, a wise man, the preacher also taught the people knowledge. And he pondered, searched out, and arranged many proverbs. The preacher sought to find delightful words and to write words of truth correctly. The words of wise men are like goads, and masters of these collections are like well-driven nails. They are given by one shepherd. But beyond this, my son, be warned. The writing of many books is endless, and excessive devotion to books is wearying to the body." And even in these closing words, he still sees some vanity. But now he's going to close with the conclusion. This is the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, verses 13 and 14. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, and everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil." I love the ending of the book of Ecclesiastes. I love the wrestling match that Solomon had about the vanity of life. But in the end, when all has been heard, this is the conclusion: fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person, and all of our acts will be before God one day, whether good or evil. And man, what a beautiful thing to remember, to fear God, and I would add to love God and to keep his commandments. That's the end of the matter. Now let's go to Psalm 39 and understand that David doesn't quite get to that spot. You know, he doesn't quite get to the conclusion, but here's how he begins. Listen to this. "I said, I will guard my ways that I might not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle while the wicked are in my presence." So David is like kind of struggling. I it seems as though he's overseen wicked things and wicked people. And he's like, what's the point? Because you know what? When I bring this stuff up, everyone just gets mad at me. It creates division. Why should I even open my mouth? So you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to be mute. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. And I'm just going to let things happen because, you know, I'm maybe, you know, this is me surmising. I'm sick of trying. I'm sick of opening my mouth, because all this stuff just keeps happening and people who don't follow God just keep doing the things that they're doing. So he's just like, you know what? I'm done. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. "I was mute and silent. I refrained even from good." He basically wasn't just going to say anything at all. And my sorrow grew worse. He actually, this wasn't working for him. Being silent amidst evil wasn't making him happier. He wasn't feeling a sense of contentedness. He tried being quiet and seeing what it would do. And it grew worse. "And my heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned." So he tried to be silent and just kind of mind his own business. And I'm just going to kind of stay out of things. And you know, at least I'll have less trouble. But I think he felt like, you know what? What good am I doing? I'm not doing anything. I'm just sitting here doing nothing. And although it's not making me in conflict, it's making me in conflict within myself by just being silent. So it's like, I'm darned if I do, I'm darned if I don't. It's kind of, I feel like what Solomon's dealing with. You know, Jeremiah, briefly, in Jeremiah chapter 20, he says this in verse 8 of chapter 20, "For each time I speak, I cry aloud. I proclaim violence and destruction, because for me the word of the Lord has resulted in reproach and derision all day long. But if I say I will not remember him or speak any more in his name, then in my heart it becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary of holding it in, and I cannot endure it." So it's like he's like, if I speak destruction, that doesn't seem to work. If I don't speak, then it becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and it seems like I can't win. If I speak, people get mad. If I don't speak, then, you know, I feel like I'm not doing service to God, and that's kind of where David's at here. So after he's frustrated, David, that is, with not speaking in Psalm 39, then he says, "Then I spoke with my tongue." But he didn't actually speak to the people. It seems like what he did is he took this frustration to God. And that's a good thing to do. And now I'm not saying that we shouldn't speak to the world or to people, but in this particular case, all this frustration pent up inside of David, he took to the Lord, and good place to go. And he said, "Lord, make me to know my end and what is the extent of my days. Let me know how transient I am." And he it seems as though he's pondering, you know, like, I'm not going to be here very long. Help me to understand what the purpose is while I'm here. "Behold, you have made my days as handbreadths." And he's signifying how short life is. "And my lifetime as nothing in your sight." You know what? Each of us is only going to be here a little while. "Surely every man at his best is a mere breath. And that's true when you look at this scheme of eternity and just the length that this world's been existence. Our life is but a breath. Surely every man walks about as a phantom. Surely they make an uproar for nothing. He amasses riches and does not know who will gather them. That's interesting, right? We go through, we work hard, we put away money, we save, we develop assets, but eventually they're all going to go away. And, you know, he's kind of like speaking of the vanity of like, oh, sometimes I stand up and make an uproar about what's going on in the world, but at this moment, even that seems a vanity to him. And now, Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. And that, you know, that is a great word in this psalm. Ultimately, that's where our hope is. Our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is in eternity. But I do believe that, you know, David is learning here that, you know what? Fear God, keep his commandments, serve him while you're here, regardless of the result. Don't worry about what man thinks. This is more my interjection. Is we're only here for a little while anyway, so you might as well live for the Lord while you're here. And when the Lord wants you to open your mouth, and whatever happens, happens, because even if we face persecution or trouble, our life is a vanity anyways. We're only going to be here a little while. So, you know, I think at times we need to keep our mouth shut, but you know what? You can only do that for so long, because then you're not serving God by keeping your mouth shut. So, deliver me from all my transgressions, David says. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. And, you know, he doesn't want to fall into the hands of this wicked world. I have become mute. I do not open my mouth because it is you who have done it. Remove your plague from me because of the opposition of your hand. I am perishing. And, you know, maybe David feels like, God, why aren't you helping me? Why are all these people against me? You know, with reproofs you chasten a man for iniquity. You consume as a moth what is precious to him. Surely every man is a mere breath. Again, the vanity of life, David's proclaiming. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. O Lord, hear me. Do not be silent at my tears, for I am a stranger with you, a sojourner like all my fathers, meaning we're only in this land for a little while. It's not really our home. This earth is not really even our home. Turn your gaze away from me that I may smile again. Now that is interesting. I want to finish the psalm here. Turn your gaze away from me that I may smile again before I depart and am no more. And if you look up that phrase, turn your gaze, it's interesting. It almost seems as though David is saying, like, okay, in this life, we know that God is watching, right? Like, God knows our actions. So therefore, because we're accountable to God and because God knows what we're doing, we try to do what's right, right? Because God always is in our audience. I've talked about this before, living for the audience of one. We should always be living for God in our actions, our words, our deeds, thinking about what God thinks. But when David is struggling with the vanity of life, it's as though, the way I interpret this, he's saying, God, could you just look away for a little while so I could just go do whatever I want? You know, turn your gaze away from me so I can just live for pleasure, because right now I'm seeing all the vanity of life and I might as well just go enjoy life. Would you just turn your gaze away from me for a moment so I can just live before I depart and am no more? Now, you know, I think this isn't a lesson to take what David is saying and say, well, that's how we should live. What this is a lesson of humanity. This is a lesson of, listen, not everybody, including David, far from it. David was far from perfect. He did a lot wrong. He did a lot right, and he was a man after God's own heart, but he did a lot wrong. And not everything in the Bible is an example of what to do. Sometimes the Bible gives us an example of what not to do. And we're catching David right now in a moment of humanness where he's struggling with the purpose of life. And he's almost like, God, would you just leave me alone so I can do what I want? But the story of the Bible doesn't end there. And, you know, as I mentioned, that's why I brought up Ecclesiastes, because David's son Solomon struggled with the same thing, but the end of the matter is this: fear God and keep his commandments. And Solomon had a better ending, and that may that be our ending today. Although, you know, give yourself some grace if moments in your life you've struggled with the purpose of life and you struggled with vanity, but just don't let that go on very long. And to go back to saying, you know what, in the end, what matters is living for God. And praise God, his church, the bride, God has promises for us beyond this life. And may we live for the audience of one and trust in the eternal life that's coming to those who believe in Jesus. Maybe it can be comforting for a moment, you know, to look at the struggles that David had, that Solomon had, that people of the Bible had, knowing they were human like we are, and sometimes we will struggle too. But let's just not struggle too long, and let's return to God, and let's fear God and keep his commandments and love him and love one another. God bless you all.